Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN Chicago. The very latest news and analysis from the NHL and Chicagoland hockey. Presented by Four Winds Casino and brought to you in part by Nancy's Pizza and your Chicagoland and Northwest Indiana Chevy dealers. Now here are your hosts, Barstool Chief and Pat Boyle.
What is up? Welcome to the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000, presented by Four Winds Casino. Mike Zai with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. Final Hockey Show of the season.
R.I.P. Yeah, it's been, I can't hear myself in my ears, but we'll just go with it anyways. Yeah, it's been a frustrating year, but a fun show. So I'm ready to put a bow on it.
All right, so I have... You know, I obviously did all the games for CHSN, so you know, I've seen every one of them.
Yeah.
And when I want to kind of put a bow on this show, I can't help but feeling good about what I've seen the last 3 weeks to a month from the young guys.
Mm-hmm.
The emergence of Nazar as a driver of the offense, the best forward the last 6 weeks of the season.
Easy.
And, I mean, Sam Rinzell, are you kidding me?
Stud.
When we said 3 weeks ago that he would bypass Rockford and probably not spend any time in the AHL.
He's going to bypass a second pair.
We're kind of like, what, really, huh? And he looks like he's and all he did was take on Ovechkin, McKinnon, Pasternak. It was like a murderer's row of forwards, and he's playing 27 minutes a game.
And now he's going to have a full off season and an NHL workout program, put on a little bit of muscle, and he'll be even better than he was in his first 9-10 games.
So they close out the season with 3 wins in their last 4, back-to-back wins in Montreal and
Ottawa
to close it out. And that game against Montreal, Chief, it was as close to a playoff game as you are going to get in the regular season.
Montreal needed it desperately.
Win to get in.
Yep.
And they didn't want to go to the last game of the season, which they had to go,
right.
go to earn the coveted point that they needed. And you had Demidov making his debut. The place
was
up for grabs.
The Bell Center was rocking. It was great. It made me excited for playoff hockey, being back in Montreal and back in Canada, because Ottawa is in too. And it got me hyped up, and it also, in a weird way, gave me a little bit of hope, because that was a bottom five team. They obviously picked Demidov 5th overall, and a young team with Nick Suzuki, and a team that people thought were probably further away from making the playoffs.
Cole Caulfield.
Right. Our old guy Kirby Dach, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, they got Lane Hudson, and things start clicking, the power play starts going. And they have energy and life, and they play the right way, and they play together. And Marty St. Louis did an incredible job there. And all of a sudden, it's like, oh, my God, they went from being a bottom dweller with, in the midst of a long rebuild, to all of a sudden you wake up and you're in the playoffs. And it's like, can something like that, can the Hawks be in that discussion sooner rather than later? Because it's high time that we have good hockey again in this city.
Look, if you go by the standings, it's a disappointing season. There's no other way to...
It was pathetic.
They're 9 points better than they were a year ago. We thought best-case scenario, if they jumped up 20 points, which would be a quantum leap
totally.
In the NHL standings, they were still going to be 20 points out of the final
right.
wild card spot. I mean, so... And as you just said before we went on, like... Rebuilds take a long time in the National Hockey mm-hmm. League, and you got to have luck on your side. You got to, when the ping pong balls give you the number one pick, it's got to be a year that it's a difference making pick.
Yeah.
And like we're seeing with Connor Bedard, how would you sum up year two from 98?
I think it's been disappointing. Was there some development? Yeah. Some, but like he still makes a lot of the same mistakes. I'd give him probably a C- on the year. Again, it's, I think you have to kind of reset expectations where he was billed as this, you know, kind of franchise savior, and he's been marketed as that. And I think he's probably just not at that level of the, you know, the Crosby, McDavid's, and we've had that conversation many times. But he's a really good, exciting player. You just he leaves you wanting a little bit more, and you know, you want to see him take care of the puck more. You want to see him, you know, just put it into good areas and not turn it over. And I think, you know, having the young guys come in seemed like that energized him too. He really closed out the year strong.
And do you think part of that was he's looking at Nazar over the last 6 weeks excelling? He's looking at the speed that Mikheyev has as a veteran, and that Oliver Moore brought from Minnesota, and on the speed on the back end. And we're going to get into more of that in just a bit. But, like, on his to-do list, finding another gear. Now, like he said, he's never going to be mistaken for MacKinnon or McDavid, and not many are.
Right.
But he does think he can find another gear, gain a step, so he can take advantage of that shot that he has and his high hockey IQ.
Yeah, he's got to get himself into better areas, more dangerous areas, get to the middle of the ice more. If you look at like where his heat map is, it's kind of predictable of where the majority of his shots and majority of his goals are. Like he gets goals that seems, if you look, it's funny, like all of his goals that are on top of the crease are kind of on the left side.
Yeah.
And then all of his goals are from like kind of the top of the right circle. And that's like his bread and butter. He needs to, you know, play through the middle of the ice a little bit more, and have more tricks in his trade, more tools in his locker, because, you know, that curl and drag trying to shoot through people, it feels like people have caught on to that. He gets a shot blocked, and if they're afraid that he's going to curl drag and pull it and beat him wide because he has the quickness and the foot speed, then that's just going to create more space for him to actually get that shot off. So there are definitely things that he can work on and things that he can get better at to, you know, I think everyone was hoping that he'd be a guy who's routinely over 100 points, and it seems like he's far away from that at this juncture. So if he gets more tools in his locker and is able to, you know, push towards that where he can be a 90-100 point guy, that's a really good guy to have on in your top six.
We'll get more into Bedard's to-do list this offseason. Also, today was exit interview day, and you know, he dispels that narrative that he wants out of Chicago. So we'll hear from Bedard on that.
I have never been able to find the genesis of that.
It's other cities. It's cities that want 98 in their NHL arena, and they are just like there are thousands of people that
there's
want Mitch Marner in a Blackhawks or pick Red Wings jersey or
there's a
you know,
Vancouver
wherever.
Barcelona chief that's trying to pull Brady Tkachuk.
Exactly.
Do that move? Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yes. You guys are everywhere.
Yeah.
So back to that Montreal game. We both thought it was a significant victory. It's about as significant as playing out the string when you're the second to
it
last
team.
It was a
feel-good win.
And here is Nick Foligno on what he saw from the Young Hawks team that went into Montreal and won a game that Montreal needed to punch their playoff ticket.
That game in Montreal, I saw a group of kids and players, and I talk about all our guys because I just saw a collective mindset of, like, we're going into the Lions' den a little bit, and we haven't really experienced that at all throughout the year, and we handled ourselves so maturely. Like, it was impressive, and I was really encouraged after that game, watching guys, like, handle big moments, the ebbs and flows of momentum and getting it back. Losing it, they came out flying, we get it back, our power play clicks, you know, it just, and guys were making smart plays, big saves, you know, so it's those moments that get you really excited. So I went from, you know, all right, we got to respect the game, to watching a group of guys really respect the game. And so I think that's encouraging for me as a leader on the team, and I'm sure a lot of the guys in the room, to watch that happen. And, you know, I'm looking for more of that now, right? Like, that's the standard. And that's what we have to get to as the Chicago Blackhawks. There has to be a standard here, and it can't dip below again.
That's the captain, Nick Foligno, and that was just a couple of games after they had a closed-door meeting after a horrible game against Pittsburgh where they were airing it out. And it was the first time that this collection of 23 and under players were kind of given a voice, because up until then it was the Maroons and the Taylor Halls and all Alec Martinez, all the guys that have departed or retired or moved on to other teams. they've had a voice here over the last month, and we actually saw that fight. Yeah. And you know, a lot of players would cower in a game like that. You know, 1-2-3 Cancun. You know, like let's get out. It's cool that we're here at Bell Center. We're playing our first game in the Mecca of hockey. They're trying to get into the in the Stanley Cup playoffs. It's nice to be here. No, they were down.
Steal it from them.
They went and fought, got back, and they won the damn game.
Yeah, it was great. It kind of reminded me of the end of the Bears season. You go up the Lambeau. Not as much was on the line for them, but the Bears season was over. They knew a coaching change was happening, and they fought like hell to get a win. They hadn't won in Lambeau in, I don't know, it feels like a decade. And it was like, you know, that's a feel-good moment. You get to run off the field the last game, winning your last game, and can that slingshot you and start a positive you know, momentum through the offseason to get you going? And I think it can. And you talk about Bedard. He had a quote, he wanted to attack the offseason, and you know, he wants to get faster. And it's like, I wonder how much they play in that game in that atmosphere. And it's like, man, you know, United Center can be like this every night. It really can. It's one of those, and that is a unique thing where Montreal's a big building like that, and but Chicago is what, 22 almost when it's sold out, or
20 almost 21.
Okay, and because they've removed
standing
somebody.
Room
yeah,
only.
Yeah.
But, you know,
so call it
21.
It's one of the biggest buildings, and when that place is rocking for big games, there is nothing better than that.
Look at what the Bulls got this year. Credit the Blackhawks attendance this year.
Hawks attendance was
just
was
under 19.
Yeah,
I mean,
pretty good
for a second to last place team.
Pretty good, and so shout out to the fans who went.
I give them credit.
Yeah.
Couldn't find the game on TV, but they found their
way. Maybe old Bill Wirtz was on to something.
No, don't play that narrative. We got a lot of narratives to dispel on this show. And, the fact that they didn't want the team on TV is absolutely not one of them. Yeah. I know that for a fact. Yeah.
But that Pittsburgh game, that Sunday game, I went to that game. And it was like, man, like this is an afternoon game, so the afternoon crowds are never like.
And
quite
then
there's
a tournament, right? Like, was the NCAA tournament?
I think it was.
I mean, there's things going
to
on.
Do, yeah, and it was the kids' day, or
yeah,
and it was just, you know what, like that place was going pretty good, and they played great, and it was a good win. It's like, man, like I would hope that the guys, the young guys, and the guys that know they're going to be here a while, where it's like that game, the first Pittsburgh game, not the game out in Pittsburgh,
the second
but that Pittsburgh game on a Sunday where, you know, Jim Cornelison's going and the, you know, place is rocking right from the start. And then that Montreal game is like, man, like, imagine getting that every night. And what can we do in this locker room to make sure we get more nights like that? Because that's, you know, everybody's getting paid there and everybody wants to be paid, and that is a motivation. But no matter who you are, you want to play in big games. You want to
play in the playoffs. Stanley Cup
playoffs. You want to play in games with atmosphere. And that does give you a jolt, and I hope that that message was received.
So what did you make of the Blackhawks' final few weeks of the season? Did you take any stock in the way that the young players performed in the last couple of weeks? And did any of that change the way you looked at the final standings and where the Blackhawks stood? 312-332-3776. Let's go to our most loyal fan on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. That's Tom in New Jersey. What is up, Tom? How you doing?
Well, boys, happy Thursday. It's a sad night for all of us dedicated Hawk fans, because we know it's the last show of the season. We would have hoped, you know, to continue through the playoffs. And you guys have covered an awful lot of great points this season, the prospects, you know, the path forward, the culture, things like that. There's one hockey question I'll ask you at the end, but my main purpose in calling tonight is to really thank you guys. You have put so much enthusiasm and interest into kind of a last-place team, and if the Hawks played with the same enthusiasm and passion that you guys have brought this whole season from October till now, they'd be in the playoffs.
Well, thanks, Tom.
I wanted to thank your producers, everyone I talked to, Hannah tonight. They're professional. They're courteous. Your guests were fabulous. So just a big
thank you. So we should get a raise.
Yeah, definitely. They definitely deserve a raise. But it's not easy to talk about a last-place team. But yet every week you guys would come up with a new point or new tangent. You gave us hope. You gave us optimism. And I'm one of the believers that I believe better days are ahead. Looking at the past, I did go to the Devils game last night and saw a couple of ex-Hawks who looked pretty good to me. But, you know, that is in the past. Stan Bowman's in the past for me. There's a rumor Brady Tkachuk's building a shore house down near where I live, and if I find out where he's at, I'm going on a personal recruiting mission to try to get him to sign with the Hawks. But I know you guys are going to assign grades later. If you could just maybe quickly highlight, and I won't keep you, who you felt exceeded expectations, who kind of met expectations, and who was a little below expectations. I shared some of my ideas with Hannah, but I'd be interested in your thoughts. And I want to wish you both well. If you're ever in the tri-state area, feel free to look me up. And thank you, thank you, thank you for a wonderful, wonderful season. You guys deserve more time. I want to talk to whoever at ESPN 1000 or Good Karma Brands controls that. I don't want to see you banished to Saturday afternoons. We need to get you more time because I'm lucky enough that I get through, but I'm sure there's a lot of other callers that don't, that want to talk hockey. And, you know, 1 hour a week is a lot to cram in, but you guys have done a great job. I'm going to miss you, but hopefully we can get more time for next year.
All right, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Very, very nice words.
Yeah.
It's like mom wrote that.
Clip that.
And send that to Danny Zetterman. Yeah. Kendra, can you make sure?
As long as I'm in on the race.
Yeah, let's put us all in there together. We got Hannah and Kendra. Yeah. We're all going to jump on Tom, who's our new agent out of New Jersey. And if you want to go vacation to the Jersey Shore, he's going to hook you up right next to Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah, drop him a note. I think, you know, it is – I like the building process, even though it seems like I don't at times. I am tired of it, but it has been fun this last month, to Tom's point, where it does feel like there are brighter days ahead.
Well, instead of just seeing the lumber and the drywall and the tiling and all the different things that you're going to put into said house, it's nice to see some of it put up.
It's not just a blueprint.
All right, I can see what this bathroom's going to look like. It's not just framed. I can actually see. And we have been able to see. Now, again, sample size is small. And there's one thing. We talked about it with the Blackhawks today. One thing is coming from Minnesota, like Oliver Moore and Sam Renzel, and playing 9 games and being as excited as hell. And you're fired up to play McKinnon or Ovechkin as he's trying to break the record. I mean, like, it's just like your childhood is coming to life, and you're on the ice for it.
Ovechkin was playing before those guys were born. It is crazy.
I mean, when Renzel said, like, Makar has been his hockey idol, and I don't look at Cale Makar as, like, an old guy, and yet you do the math, you're like, okay, I guess
he was 13.
Yeah, Now, it's a different story coming back next year in September, ready to go in October, and then get 25 games in, get 45 games in.
Sophomore slump.
Not even sophomore slump, but just the reality of the NHL. Yeah. It's a grind, bro. It's not this, like, come in and, you know.
That's why they got to do the work
now.
Last
year when Nazar came from Michigan, scored right away. Mm-hmm. Slagert came from Notre Dame. He scored. It's like, boom, this is, and then you go through it, and Nazar struggled when he first came up from Rockford this year, and then he was their best forward the last 6 weeks of the season.
Yeah, I mean, there are going to be stretches where it's like it's a Thursday night in Calgary, and you've played 3 out of the last 5 nights, and you're like, oh my God, you know, and it's not always going to be easy, but this is why you put the work in now in the summer if you're these kids. You have to work like you're in the NHL because now you are. So you gotta get the muscle. You gotta be able to withstand 82 games, which is not easy. And I do like that there is this element of competition because I'm sure Levshinov wants to be running PP1, and I'm sure Renzel does too, and I'm sure Korchinski does too. So there's gonna be like this internal competition where it's like I have to be better, not necessarily than the guy on the other team, but better than the guy next to me in the locker room. So it's like every shift, every rep in practice, everything matters. And I think that competition will breed, you know, a, overall a better team.
All right, we got to do some things that Tom said. Who exceeded expectations? Who did not reach them? We'll get to that. Connor Bedard on his to-do list this offseason. What does he plan to do to move his way up the points standings in the National Hockey League and become a driver of the offense? And the coaching search.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of this offseason for Kyle Davidson. Who is at the top of their list? We have it all coming up. It's the season finale of The Hockey Show on ESPN 1000.
The Hockey Show
with Pat Boyle and Barstool Chief.
Call us or tweet your comments to at ESPN 1000. The Hockey Show.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
A clip of a high stick there. The play continues. Hawks steal. Here's Foligno. The big ring! Ties it on the one! Here's Bedard off the draw with a shot. Scores! Connor Bedard! Top corner! Tie game! What a shot! Bedard flips a little pass back to Levshinov. Carabina, Levshinov with a shot, and Fedotov got a piece of that, steered it just wide. Played to Carabina. In front, they score! It's Bonato again on the power play! And what a setup by Timo Carabina. Hawks back on top by two. Here's a pass across. Reichel with a look. Right in! Banks it in! Lucas Reichel off a skate into the net. Is that ricocheted off Andre standing in his crease? And it's 7-4 Hawks.
Back on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000. We are sponsored by Chevy Drive Chicago and Nancy's Pizza with Ryan Brandel, a.k.a. Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. You can reach us at 312-332-3776. We are recapping the Blackhawks season that ended Tuesday night in Ottawa. They will have the second best odds to land the number one overall pick. Most likely they'll have the second pick, and we'll see. This is not a overly abundant draft of high-end talent, but there are some difference makers at the top.
Yeah, it's one of those drafts where there's not like there isn't a McDavid, there isn't a Celebrini, Bedard. There's not like that level of guy, but there's guys that'll help your team for sure.
Yes.
Yeah.
So our friend Tom from New Jersey asked us for a list of some players that exceeded or didn't meet expectations this year. I'm not going to go through all the skaters, but I just made a short list in the commercial break. And the ones that exceeded expectations at the top of my list is Ryan Donato.
Yeah.
Career season, 31 goals. They are going to talk again. Basically, they had a three-year $4 million per year contract offer on the table at the trade deadline. Once the trade deadline passed, both parties kind of settled down. I think they're going to get back to talking. Just reading the room, Ryan wants to be here. The Blackhawks want him to be here.
Sounds like it should be easy.
It seems like it's a deal that's going to get done. Other ones that exceeded expectations. Ilya Mikheyev, I've become the president of that fan club.
You have.
I wasn't at the first two months of the season. Frankie Nazar.
Blown away.
I really am.
Yeah.
I mean, we had on from The Athletic.
Pronman.
Mm-hmm. And
always hated him.
Corey Pronman hates Frank Nazar. Didn't have him in his top 150 of 23 and under.
He might have to make an adjustment.
Well, yeah. Okay. Yeah. So, shout out to Corey.
Yeah.
And then I had Sam Renzel. Again, small sample size, but I can't get over skating. The play he made to win the game in Ottawa, let's hear it, because Nazar gets the game winner. It's the future of your Blackhawks on display in one play. It is Renzel taking the puck away. It is Bedard dropping the puck to Frank. It's Nazar lighting the lamp. Good night. Drive safely. I mean, that is the future of the Blackhawks, and it was on display on Tuesday.
Connor Bedard's got 10. So does Bertuzzi as they'll get set up. Here's Bedard. Takes a look. Passes. Bertuzzi back to Bedard. Let's it go. Scores Bedard right on cue. It's a power play goal. The Hawks are back on top. Picked up by Bedard. Got Renzel with him. Here's Bedard. Feeds it back. Nazar scores. Craig Nazar in overtime. And the Hawks win it 4-3 in Ottawa.
That was Rick Paul on the call on CHSN. Did a great job this year in his first seat. First time in the Blackhawks seat with Darren Pang. But like that got me excited. Yeah. That got me tingling. I was pretty happy about that.
And even like it's a little thing, but it's not. And it's like end of a shift. You can tell Renzel's maybe dragging a little bit, 3-on-3. Just absolutely busts his butt. Center lane drive. Make sure he's occupying that D. That's why the little drop.
See, it took him from Stützle, too. Like, yes. It's not like some schmo.
Yeah, but then.
Yeah.
All the way forward as, like, you know, making sure that that lane was either going to be there for him to receive the pass from Bedard, but it opens it up for Nazar trailing. It was beautiful. So, all, like, that's what you need. The little details, the simple things that you, if you do them right and you do them at full effort, you're going to be okay.
Okay, who didn't meet expectations? Again, I'm not going over the entire list. This team was second to last. There's a lot of highs and lows throughout this thing, but I'm going to say Reichel didn't meet it. Bertuzzi did not meet it. Phil Kurashev, I think, has played his final game here.
Yeah.
And then we talked about Connor. I mean, I have lofty expectations. He has lofty expectations. And I think he's going to invest some time and energy this offseason to work on some areas. We saw improvements.
Yeah.
Improvement at the faceoff dot. More responsibility defensively. Mm-hmm. Now it can get better. Takeaways, you were telling me, Mitch Marner?
Mitch Marner led the league or second in the league in takeaways.
Takeaways. Like that, right. He's so good, high eye-hand coordination. And we saw him do that his rookie year. I want to see him sweat pucks and stick.
Yeah, you have to read plays. You have to put yourself in the right. You have to be on the right side of the puck. You know, like that's a big part of it. And it's like, you know, you go watch film of guys like Pavel Datsyuk, and Datsyuk is like a strong, you know, but about the same height, but an ox. But he was just always on the right side of the puck and read the game beautifully. Like, but his thing was not like being a burner. It was more like Connor with like the edges where he would change directions and he would do that, like the shootout move. So Connor can get better. He has to get better. He is more talented than what the production has shown. So I hope he finds that next level next year.
The narrative that he wants out of Chicago. Well, here's Connor today on that.
You know, I'm a pretty mild mannered guy, and you know, if I look a little sad on the bench or something, maybe people can take it out of context. But you know, I've said it so many times that, you know, I love being here and the city, the people. Even before I got drafted, I was embraced like you know, one of their own. So it's a special sports town. And you know, we got a lot of great players coming up, great people, and you know, I think anything can, you know, get said to me. I mean, I don't really look at that. I don't really see a whole lot of that unless someone shows me. And but I just think, you know, I think people that know me know that I love to be here, and you know, really trust the direction we're going. And hey, if you get the first overall pick, you know, you're probably not winning the cup the next 2 years. So you know, it's an understanding of where you're at. And you know, we're going out there to win every game, but at the end, you know, we're in a process of growing and learning, and that's an exciting time. And you know, when you lose, it makes winning a lot sweeter once you get there. So we're excited for that.
That's Connor Bedard this morning at Fifth Third Arena as the Blackhawks had their exit season meetings with the media. So you're on board with his game plan to work on his speed and his acceleration. I mean, that is something that when you watched all these younger players come up, and one thing that makes Mikheyev such a weapon out there is his speed. Nazar, both of them on the PK, how many times did they get shorty opportunities, odd man breaks? We're seeing that with the Oliver Moores. Slagger has
It's going to be a very fast team.
That's what they're trying to build. And so he needs to you know, gain a step.
He's got to be able to keep up.
Yeah.
You know, genuinely.
Yeah, he joked about that.
Yeah.
He plans to spend most of his time in Vancouver. he did not say whether he's going to play in the World Championships. I'm hearing that he's probably not going to play in the World Championships.
I've heard that as well.
Does that surprise you at all?
Yes. You know, that is a thing that is typically, like, it's only a three-week tournament, and the young players are usually showcased. You'll have guys who...
Like Vlasic's going to play in it again.
Vlasic will play in it, but you'll even see, like, guys who just turned pro. Like, it's an odd assortment of talent usually, but it's usually, if like, Patrick Kane has played in it, and usually the Blackhawks didn't make it. So usually, like, when you're called upon, you go. So it's a little interesting. I would wonder if maybe he didn't get called. Do we know if he got called?
I think there was interest in it. I think this is more of I think they wanted to reset. I think he wants to reset after. I don't think we.
He played last year in it, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did.
I think he did as well.
And I think we underestimate just how much baggage he deals with. I know he tries to stay off of social media, and I just think I'll put it bluntly. I think he's an introvert in an extrovert profession, and I can relate to that because I am the same way. Just because you're picked to be a generational talent and everybody in the country of Canada knows your name by the time you're 14 years of age, and you carry all these expectations in the National Hockey League. You get drafted first overall. You're as he said in the soundbite, I was beloved here before I got here.
Yeah.
And with all those expectations, there's been a lot of stuff off the ice, things that he's had to deal with.
It's been a weird couple of years.
And again, I'll go back to he's 19. Mm-hmm. And if I've got an 18 and a 21-year-old. If they were dealing with the stuff that he is dealing with, I can't imagine what those phone conversations would be like with them at night.
Yeah.
It's not easy. No, and I'm so sure. I think after another meat grinder of a season and not reaching the expectations that he probably has for himself. And again, wasn't a bad season. He's still if you look, he's played 150 games. Mm-hmm. If you look at the 150 games he's played in with other number one overall picks, he has more points than what Nathan MacKinnon had at 150 games.
I know. I hate when people make that comparison, though, because MacKinnon always had all the physical attributes where he's 6'1".
I'm just saying production.
I don't think there's a person on the planet who would go back in time and be like, and you could look at a, year D+2 MacKinnon or a D+2 Bedard, and people would take Bedard. I think everybody in the world is still taking MacKinnon, even though the production's not there.
How about Jack Hughes? Because he's got way more points than Jack Hughes.
Way more points than Jack Hughes. That was also weird, like COVID-y time, and Hughes. But and again, Hughes had that. He has that extra gear of skating too. So I think you hit the nail on the head. Like, he is an introvert. And it's weird to make an introvert who's 18 and 19 the face of the team. And it's like that was why I was advocating for bringing Patrick Kane back during his rookie year so much, because it's like you need a guy not only to show him the ropes, but a voice that everybody knows that can have the burden of being the face of the team and shield him and take some of the weight off of his shoulders, off the ice type of stuff, and facing the media and answering the questions, because Foligno does a great job of that. But at the end of the day, like, Nick Foligno is...
He's only going to be here one more year.
He's only going to be here one more year. And, like, his name just doesn't matter the same way Patrick Kane was, and it doesn't matter the same way Connor Bedard was. Nick Foligno meets the media all the time. People analyze Bedard's face on the bench more than they listen to what Foligno has to say, at least publicly, and that's just the way it is. So it's just like I always felt that they put him in an unfair position to start his career.
Yeah, well, they made the decision on Kane and Taves before they even knew where they were picking, so they didn't even have that debate per se.
Which I just think that was a mistake, and they could have gone back to Kane.
Up next, Connor Bedard is eligible for a contract extension July 1st. I want to ask you what kind of number he might be looking at in that
negotiation.
It is going to
be a fascinating look.
And then the top of the list, David Carl is the top choice for the Blackhawks when it comes to their next head coach. That's according to an NHL insider. You'll hear from him and David Carl on the other side. It's the Hockey Show season finale presented by Four Winds Casino on ESPN.
The Hockey Show. Chicago's only show dedicated to hockey fans. Listen on the ESPN Chicago app from anywhere.
The Hockey Show on Chicago's home for sports. ESPN Chicago.
Yeah. Back on the Hockey Show on ESPN 1000 with Barstool Chief. I am Pat Boyle. So July 1st comes, free agency begins in the National Hockey League. New year for the league as it starts its official next official year. As I'm trying to say this, official. Officially, yep. Connor Bedard will be eligible for a contract extension. We know the numbers. You know, he has not, you know, he's not among the league leaders in points or goals or assists. He's doing fine, but he's been in the 60s.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of number do you think he might be looking at? And what do you think the Blackhawks would be willing to give?
So, I'm just doing like a quick little RFA search, okay? So, Matthew Nyes is obviously a big name. We've talked about him many times up in Toronto. He's a key cog for Toronto. He put up 56 points in 77 games, 29 goals, power forward. And now the talk is like, how are they going to get Matthew Nyes and Mitchell Marner, like how do they do this? People are saying, and when I say people, I mean Paul Bissonnette.
Okay.
Says, offer Matthew Nyes right now 8x8.5.
8x8.5.
Yeah. And so if he's worth that, and he's an important piece, but he's not the piece the way that Connor is here. The Leafs are cash strapped. The Hawks have no financial issues whatsoever. You would think if Matthew Nyes is getting 8.5, and I am the biggest Matthew Nyes guy.
Yes, you are. As much as I love Mitch Marner, you love Matthew Nyes.
Yeah.
Two completely different players.
Different guys, yeah.
And let's be honest, Toronto needs him. Like,
yes.
They don't have Matthew Nyes prototypes throughout their system.
He's it.
Yeah.
And they're lucky to get him because he went in the second round of that draft, and that was another COVID year where they just didn't have a lot of tape on the guy.
And he's what ultimately gets you through playoff series, in theory.
He's a big, bad boy.
Yes.
Who can score goals.
Yes.
So, but if he's worth 8.5, okay, that's Paul. Biz is pretty plugged in, so I don't think he just pulled that number out of anywhere. Then I would have to think that Connor could demand more than that, which pushes him towards the ideal number for me, which is 8x9.8. So do the old Sidney Crosby. Crosby only ever signed for 8.7, his number. And I think that might be probably a little steep for what Connor's production is at this stage.
But over the 8 years.
But you're hoping that his production goes up as he hopefully improves and the team improves. And he signed long term. And then, you know, the cap continues to go up and it's less of a percentage of the cap, you know, by the time he's 26 than it is right now. And right now it doesn't matter because you look around the locker room, everybody else is on an entry-level deal. So I would just go and be like, what a PR move. Hey, this is what Sid did. This is what Sidney Crosby
did. Sid is 101 when it comes to that. Sid, he's left so many millions on the table.
You want to be like Sid? Sid got
Sid's
a lot of dubs.
Probably has no hair left in his head and has pulled it all out over the last 3 negotiations.
Crosby could have probably got 12 last week. He's like, nah, 8-7.
And when they wanted to move him possibly at this last trade line, no, I'm staying.
Yeah.
Even though you guys are going to do another rebuild here, I'm staying.
Pittsburgh.
Look, it's
going to
be interesting. I don't know how that I think, like you said, initially 9.8 would be an overpay at this point.
Yeah.
But ultimately, and with the cap going up, that's the big caveat to this. Every agent's going to be like, you know what? It's percent of cap that we want to match the best player with.
Right.
And those are going to be the numbers that are very interesting. Let's quickly get into the coaching search. NHL head coaching experience. You would think after the Colleton situation, after Luke Richardson, that they might be gun shy when it comes to interviewing a candidate who doesn't have NHL experience.
Mm-hmm.
But is our understanding that David Carl is number one on their list? I had NHL insider Frank Saravalli on the show earlier in the week and asked him about the Blackhawks coaching search.
Well, Pat, the Hawks have had about 5 months to put their list together, and there's one name at the very top that's been circled that has separated himself from the rest of the pack, and that is David Carl from Denver University. Look, this is a guy that's had incredible success at both the college and international stage, two-time NCAA national champion, back-to-back world junior gold medals. At the age of 35, the Alaska native is the it guy in this coaching cycle for the National Hockey League. And here's the thing. The Hawks are going to want to get after him, but they're not going to be alone, Pat.
No, and you recently had David Carl on your podcast, and there's a lot of attention being shown his way, and for good reason. Is it a foregone conclusion that Carl will leave the NCAA ranks and Denver?
No, it's not. He's got a fantastic job, one that he could have for life. He's been at Denver since he was a teenager. He's a guy that has grown up in that program, has had great tutelage. He could stay there for the next 35 years, be an incredibly well-paid college coach, and call it a career. And that's going to be the push and pull throughout this process, but you don't have to believe me. Take a listen. Here's him directly.
It would need to be a life-changing opportunity, you know, in a lot of ways, but it also needs to be a team with a vision that aligns with what I see as it relates to winning. And I think the way coaches are recycled through the NHL, obviously, is, yeah, I personally don't believe it's the best way to have success, to pull the trigger quickly and to try and build long-term sustained success. I think a patient vision, where you're working collectively with a group of people, players and management, coaches all alike, you know, I think that that's the way forward. And the NHL is not really that right now. And so maybe it changes into that, or maybe we can be a part of that change.
David Carl, 35 years of age, two national championships at Denver, two world junior championships where he coached Nazar, Moore, and Rinzel. Do you like the idea of David Carl being the next head coach of the Blackhawks?
Yes, but I would be lying if I said I wasn't a little bit nervous about it, because we went through this with Colleton and Richardson, like you said.
Difference was Colleton went into a room with Stanley Cup champions.
Very true. Very true.
Carl is going into a room where they basically just left the collegiate ranks, and it's guys that he knows a handful of them already, mm-hmm,
from the junior,
and they know him.
Yeah. Yeah. I wonder how well, I can't speak to that. I would want him to have kind of total control, because I feel like maybe that has been an issue where it's like, you know, maybe the coach's hands are tied a little bit of how ice time is doled out, things like that. I wonder if the Blackhawks are on the top of his list, because if there's,
it's got to be the right fit. It's got to, I think he needs to be in line with management. So
yeah,
if he likes the current roster,
mm-hmm,
the prospects in the system, the philosophies that Kyle and Hockey Ops have,
I wonder how much term and how much money he would need.
I think it starts
that churn and burn.
I think
he's talking about
5 or 6 million a year times five.
So he'd walk in as one of the highest paid coaches in the league.
I think there's coach. I mean, Q is making significantly more than
that's
that.
That's the winningest coach of all time.
I mean, there's $8-10 million coaches right now in the National Hockey League.
Yeah. So do you think the Blackhawks job is more attractive than Boston? Joe Sacco's on an interim. He's probably gone.
I think Boston certainly looks more appealing, because you've got McAvoy, Pastrnak, and Swayman. You've got your core three kind of in lockstep.
He is a Monty disciple, and Monty got run out of there. So I was wondering if that might be some bad blood. Flyers' job is probably going to be open. Bradshaw is an interim.
One thing he said was he doesn't like this NHL recycle situation where they're just going through coaches left and right, like, you know, changing socks.
Mm-hmm.
So if he gets some
I don't know what kind of guarantees you could give him. You know,
well, no, I mean, if he's like, look, we realize where we're at in this rebuild, and we're going to give you a 5-year deal where we've given most coaches three.
Yeah.
And the reason why we're giving you five is because we believe in you. You're going to set the culture. You're going to grow with this team.
Yeah.
I mean, that would be my pitch.
But then it's like, do you want the guy that has to grow with the team? You know, because you can sour relationships as you're learning. Too.
I think he's Ben Johnson.
I would that would be fantastic.
That's kind of I mean, I feel like he's the hot candidate instead of going to the I think he's more willing to come to Chicago in a rebuild than Mike Sullivan is if he's launched in Pittsburgh. I think Mike Sullivan would be like, where did we get the phone call from? I'm good.
I know. I'm very curious to see what other coaches become available.
All right. We got to wrap up this show. We got to take one more break, and we're going to put a bow on the season finale of The Hockey Show. It's the most dramatic hockey show ever.